Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low. I've been new. I've been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake. But it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole scratching, they messy. Bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low in this show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. Oh, no, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I'm flipping for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two times for the two times, cause they fake now. Three times for the three times, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, on fresh stop.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. Hey, what's happening? Thank you for tuning in to Real Talk with the Love. Yeah, no, what? Let's start that over. Thank you very much for tuning in to Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome sauce co-host, Mo Benz. What a new Mo.
What's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? I'm ready for another edition of what we do. You know, this is Real Talk. You know what I'm saying? Sunday Fun Day. You know, we're going to chop it up tonight, and you know how we do. So roll something up, light something up, you know, tell a friend to tell a friend, log on and listen, and enjoy.
That's what's up, man. Shout out to Top 5. The Top 5 then switched around just a little bit. Shout out to Top 5 Country tuning in, Mo. Who they are? Who they be?
So look, we got a the list, yeah, you're right. It got switched up, man. So I'm gonna go from 5 to 1. So at number 5, man, making they like debut. I don't remember them being on our top 5 ever. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but shout out to Croatia. You know, apparently you know, Croatia, then, you know, they messing with us, you know. So shout out to that. Number four, we got the Northmen, which is Sweden, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to all those northern countries in Europe. Number three, we got our northern neighbor, Canada, you know, holding strong. So shout out to Toronto and Vancouver and, you know, all those Canadian cities up there. Number two, we got the Last Kingdom, a.k.a. United Kingdom. You know, so shout out to England, man. I've been really feeling England these days because I've been watching a show called The Last Kingdom, man. It's really got me open off of England right now. So shout out to them. And the number one, of course, it is the United States of America, which is so shout out to all 50 states, you know, everybody tuning in, you know what I'm saying, all the cities in this wonderful country of ours. And, yeah, that's the top five.
Yeah, shout out to y'all beautiful people, man. Thank you very much. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in. And shout out to all of the 30-plus countries that tune in to our show. We really appreciate you. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in and get into the top five countries tuning in. Sunday night to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you dig? How was your week, Mo?
So my week... Yeah, it was cool, man. Like, definitely, so, you know, so this part of, I mean, I guess, this new week going in, I'm calling this week coming up, finish strong, you know, make April win. Because like I said, man, this Aries energy, it's been interesting for me, man, but it's definitely fire and fire, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, definitely finish strong, make April win. But this past week, you know, I did like I said I was gonna do, you know, hustle smarter, picking my spots. Interior decorating was great, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to everybody who was, you know, messing with me this week, and you know, we did some good things and getting people's places looking nice. And and I almost had my tax documents together, so you know what I'm saying? So I should be ready to file that in the next few days. That'll be just a weight lifted off my shoulder because this taxes for this year seemed like a, you know what I'm saying? It's been like homework for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, back in the day, I guess, you know, that's what school trained you for real life situations. But, you know, when you got a project due and you like keep putting it off and you're just trying to get to it and doing it. So that's how I kind of, this week I should have that pretty much done. So, yeah, man. So once I do that, you know, then we slide into May. So, yeah, that's my week. How was your week? Yeah, Black.
So I'm coming. I had something going on just then.
Okay, I'm like, what happened?
Pause break.
Yeah.
No, man, it sounds awesome, man. And, you know, it was pretty light. My week was pretty light this week, man. Oh, man. So I got the photo shoot done and came back super awesome,
okay.
I think. Keep in mind that I am still working on getting this weight off from being pregnant. But
gotcha.
And it shows in my face.
Hot girl summer.
Oh, it
hot
shows in my
summer.
Face. So my face is so round. Do you understand me? But I like the pictures. I posted one picture from the I posted two from the photo shoot. So that process is going. I actually liked them. It was different. And they were all
house. I did the contrast. Yeah, I peeped you. I like the one you got your blue looking all business-wise, you know what I'm saying? And then you got it sexy
purple.
On the other one, you
it's
know what
purple.
I'm saying? Oh, purple, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I dig that, man. So shout out. I love a contrast, you know what I'm saying? I love, like, seeing one way and then flipping it, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to you on that one, definitely.
You know, I do it all. So, you know, that's for my business profiles and things that I have to get done. And, you know, that particular image, you know, that side of the image that I'm putting out there. So that was, like, a business profile and then some eye candy, which, you know, it was like, okay. My first shoot in like 4 months, I rocked it, but definitely still, you know, knocking off some of the weight from being pregnant and your body moves slow, especially when you don't go the whole time. It's not, it's easy to switch. So it's a lot that I'm doing myself to allow my body to, you know, switch lanes when it comes to that. But yeah, so I did the photo shoot. You know, still did been doing more work on the movie that we have, doing that stuff, and I'm just about done with my spring wardrobe. I'm kind of doing spring slash summer at the same time. Because there's only so much stuff that I'm going to wear. So, you know, I'm doing that.
What's the new looks? Right?
Huh?
No, I was just saying, what's the new looks?
I am obsessed right now with the oversized dresses. And they just make me look so, you know, elegant. I'm so obsessed with the oversized dresses right now. So that's kind of like the lane.
I love a woman in a dress. I love a woman in a dress, you know, in the spring, summer, man, a little sundresses, man. That's a good look right there, so definitely.
Yeah, I'm in love with that particular look. And one of the things, like, I never wore sneakers. I was never, like, a sneakerhead or anything like that. And now I have maybe 20 pairs of sneakers. You know what I'm saying? So I've really been getting into. You are unmuted. I just brought you in. I went back into the studio and just brought you in.
Oh,
so
what about damn time?
You just turned it
so
to
I've never been into
though.
Sneakers at all. I've always, like, especially when younger, I always wore, like, heels and very high heels. And then, you know what, after a couple of children and some epidurals, the way that your back is set up, you know, you kind of change the flow of that. So I have, like, over 15 pairs of sneakers now. So I've been really into sneakers and oversized
dresses. What's your sneakers
dresses.
Looking like? Okay. What
oh, you know, J's.
Okay.
J's or like the girly sneakers.
Jordan ones.
I'm not sure about like all of that. I just know they Jordans. They was over $100. Yeah, they red and black because that's the color that I wanted. So if I buy like.
That's the Chicago Bulls colors, so they're all going to be red and black. But I'll tell you, but that sounds like they
Atlanta Falcons, you know.
Yeah, that too.
Atlanta, you know, Heat, you know, da-da-da.
Yeah.
So calm down.
Okay.
Jordan kind of only
Anywho, and then other than that, if I don't go with J's, I got some regular Nikes in there. And then, like, the girly sneakers, like, with the different colors, the see-through bottoms and things like that. So, you know, that's kind of like what we're doing, the vibration when it comes to the sneaker game. Or, you know, it's some sneakers. I got Steve Madden's in there. Like, Steve Madden has, like, sneakers that match either your purse or your waist thing, whatever you call it. So I have like a Steve Madden set in there too. So, you know, just like that.
Okay.
I got a lot of stuff in this week for the wardrobe. So that was kind of cool. I got like two more huge orders that I'm about to fill at once, and I am done for a minute. And let me see. Other than that, yeah, it was like really laid back, easy breezy. I kind of like set up things to do because my partner, he's out of town for a couple of days. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell am I going to do? So I just like made this a list to keep my mind off of the fact that he's not here. So I, you know, did some deep cleaning and cooking and reading a book. And I have a new shrine that I need to put up. So, you know,
talk
I have Yemaye, and I have Obatala, and I have their whole setup, their shrines. I have, you know, them, their tools, you know, sitting out, and they all have, you know, fresh spring water sitting out with them and Kyrie shells and pennies and so on and so forth. So I have this one little area that I have my shrine. I have an ancestor, you know, altar, ancestor shrine as well. Altars are when you, like, you're going there to do work, you know, or you know, you're going for something. You know, shrine is where you have everything kind of, like, set up. And if I go and I feed them or give them an offering, I put it in the middle and then, you know, go from there. So I've been really getting into my differences between altars and shrines because when I do work in that area, sometimes I will turn a shrine into an altar, which means that it's already existing, but if I start to do work, if I want to, you know, do something, and I'll put it there. Most of the time it's on the floor, around everything. So my new deity that I just got was Olokun, which is the counterpart for Ye Maye. Ye Maye, she governs the day and the shallow portions of the sea. And Olokun, he governs at night and he governs the depths of the sea. So, you know, they are together. They share the sea together, male and woman counterpart. So I just got him and, you know, his things, his necklace, and all this good stuff. So I was doing it today. I had to cut the boy's hair, too. But because he governs night, I waited till tonight after the show to put his shrine up and then, you know, do my altars and stuff like that. So, yeah,
question.
That's kind of like what I'm getting into. We did have new moon energy. I definitely, I think we talked about it. Was it before the show or after the show for new moon energy? I had a ton of rituals. Yeah, I think it was like last Sunday that I did for that. And the energy has just been absolutely amazeballs, okay? And I've just really been realizing how much I've grown. Like certain things people do and say. And I realized how before I used to have to know and I wanted to respond and attack and so on and so forth. And I now take pride in the fact that I am no longer like that person. Like I'm so much more calmer because I know that I'm protected by the universe. And once you understand that you are protected, no matter what they do to you, all you have to do is just be like, hey, it is what it is. You don't have to go lift a finger to do not one piece of work. The universe takes care of it for you. So, I've really been basking in that energy. You know, not to say that things won't happen in your life, but when they do, you know that the universe has your back 100%. And that takes a lot of growth because I had anger problems. I was in anger management. You know, I've done counseling. I've done a lot of things in reference to my anger. And so that's just like a major win for me to even acknowledge the fact that, you know, I'm here in this space that I am right now. And it just be like, you know, when I talk to people, and I just be like, you know, hey, I'm very protected. And there's not been a soul, I can tell you, that thought they got over on me or thought they did something to me and karma didn't come back. You know, you either going to accept it or you just going to know, hey, it is what it is. But anywho,
So real
me.
Quick, before you finish up, because I think that the shrines and altars is very interesting, and I like how you elaborated on it. I just had two questions because, like I said, I'm a novice when it comes to it. When you say doing work, like at the altar, what does that, like, entail?
Like if you are manifesting or whatever the case may be, if you're burning candles, whatever energy, you know, there's earth, wind, fire, and water. So, you know, if you are doing for those that, you know, do work, do magic, whatever you may call it, you would do that on your shrine, which in return you turn that into an altar at that point because that's where you're going to be meditating, that's where you're going to be putting focus in, so on and so forth, type thing. So it just all depends on the level of what you're doing, your level of your spirituality when it comes to differences on shrines and altars and so on and so forth. Some people, they don't even care. They just set it up and it's an altar, you know, to everybody.
Yeah, I get you.
And so
it works. Okay.
I was
sense.
One of those people, and I really just was like, you know what?
Take
you have
to
understand
level.
Because
yeah.
they will put things on your heart. And someone was like, find out the difference between a shrine and altar. And then that's when my research and was like,
good.
Oh,
and
I actually have shrines. So.
And then the last question that I have, and then we can move on. But the other question I just had was, like, all right, so, like, say, for instance, like an offering, you know, because I'm familiar with that. I know, like, you know, a lot of times maybe if you had an ancestor in the past and, you know, you might have a picture of that, of, you know, that particular person, and you put, like, an offering, you know, whether it be, I don't know, like you said, water or money or something like that, how long do you usually, like, leave that there before you take it back or switch it up or whatever?
So, you know, I have multiple shrines, ancestors, and deities. Water lives on your altar. You should have water. You should have flowers. I don't have flowers. Flowers is something that you should get often and change out often. They know my heart. I am so not good with flowers. But water, flowers, that lives there. Money, it lives there. I don't ever move it. So I have ancestor money and I have real money. I do not carry cash ever. And so if someone gives me cash for something, within an amount, somebody, you know, gives me, you know, $50 or something like that less that I don't need to go add to my thing. And if it's more, if it's 100, I still would take, you know, 20 or 40 and put in my account and then take the rest and put on my altar. So any cash goes to my altar. You know, I say a prayer once it's handed to me and give it up and offer it up. So whatever cash is over there is over there. And you leave it there. You don't ever go take it. It's what you give for an offering. Like, those things stay there. As far as, then those are all offerings. Ancestor money, I will go over and put on the floor in the middle and burn ancestor money. And that goes, you know, that's out to everyone. Food also is an offering. You don't have to do a lot, do a little bit. You know, you may want to give orange juice or, you know, 100% apple juice or orange juice with pulp, which is the real orange juice, or apple juice or something like that. Anything that you want to give, those things you would take and remove. Milk, orange juice, stuff like that, you leave over there. Some people leave it for 24 days. I leave it until I feel like this, the spirit, the energy is sucked out of it. So I might leave mine over there for 2-3 days, and then I take it and move it, just, you know, for tests and things like that.
That's interesting, too, because, like, you know, like, especially with food, you know, it's going to evaporate anyway, so that energy does leave it, you know what I'm saying? So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, like, when you eat, you know what I'm saying?
I don't give them
pork.
So, you know, that's the one thing I don't put over there is pork. Just because, you know, I know the deities, they not big on pork. And then definitely, you know, some are not big on beef. So, you know, you're mindful of what you do, you know, put over there. Some things I may not even eat, but I'll put over there. I wouldn't put seafood over there. You know, I have two deities from the sea now. So, you know, this is their creatures. This is, you know, their environment. I wouldn't put seafood. So it'll be chicken or turkey or something like that, or a nice, you know, dessert or something like that. So, yeah, those are offers.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for explaining, you know, definitely.
No problem. So, Smoove, how was your week?
Oh, man, I'm just getting old, bro. I'm trying to figure out what I need to subtract out of my life. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those moments in time where you just got to, nah, fuck all that. Keep that. But other than that, I mean, just make it fit sex. Like, for the like, I want to say for the last month or two, there's just been a lot of negativity on my part as far as the way I'm perceiving things or the way I'm approaching things. So I'm just doing an assessment on what the fuck I need to get rid of. You see what I'm
saying? That's real. That's real. Sometimes, yeah, you got to, you know, checks and balances. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing. You know, what was it, last week I told about the commercial property that finally came through. So you would think after something like that, and there'll be some positivity, but it's like now it's more intense negativity. So, yeah, it's time for me to figure out what I need to subtract.
It was the best time to do that, you know, when seasons is changing, that's the best time, you know. So I'm setting up for spring energy right now, then going into the summer. So like I said, I'm a different person each season. So yeah, it's perfect timing. So definitely. And it's funny you said that too, because like I told you, I had a great March, and that's just how life goes, man. Like I was riding a wave, you know what I'm saying, as far as real estate, you know, in March, you know what I'm saying, and that's why it's so important to have multiple hustles, you know what I'm saying. So when one kind of, because I'm, you know, doing the same thing that I did last month, but it was just the energy was there, the momentum was there. Now it's just like I move right, something moves left, you know what I'm saying. Somebody get to the deal right before I was about to close it, you know what I'm saying, or you know, just prickly clients this month. So you know, that's just the energy, man. The energy shifts, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just ride.
Seen,
that's why momentum is important.
I seen a conversation that someone was having, this naturist. And it made a lot of sense, especially what you guys are talking about. She says we're in a two-dimensional hologram phase right now. And understand this. It was always one world order. We were controlled by Christianity. We were controlled by what they put out for us to believe. And we really wasn't, it wasn't enough of us questioning. It would be like one in a thousand. And the 999 would look at that person like, dude, who the hell are you? Who are you? You know, like, what are you talking about? And wake up, and they got us. And we would always think that that one person was a little bit off because we were still controlled and molded, right? And though that is the low vibrational energy. Those people, they don't want to believe. They just still go with what the government entails and say, this is what's supposed to be, and that's what you're going to go after. You're going after what you grew up to believe in, and you're not asking any more questions, right? But there are so many more people that have awakened in this time, and they are ascending, right, which are the high vibrational people, right? You're ascending from that low vibrational thought process, and you're understanding that it's way more to this shit than they wanted us to ever believe, and you're understanding your power. And so that those are the high vibrational people. So we are separated in two different holograms right now. And there's forces, and you have to continue to love. And as Smooth said, check yourself. Understand what's going on and pay attention to what's around you and remove it so that you can operate on a high vibration. Because those energies, they are around you, and yet they are so good at hiding themselves because their only mission, they are planted in your area to bring you down, to put roadblocks in your way, to do sneaky link shit behind your back, to make you feel some type of way because they want to feel good about themselves because they admire you so much and they can't get what you got. You have to pay attention to those vibrational type of people. And if things aren't right or aligning in your life, you have to do your check and remove it. You have to remain on a high vibrational frequency when shit is good or when shit is bad because that's what is going to separate you from the low vibrational and the high vibrational. So continue to vibrate in your highest level and understand that, hey, this is something testing me. It's okay. You know, some of the simplest forms of, you know, everybody's not happy about you. You know, in my morning message, everybody's not happy that you're winning. And it could be the people that you help that are the maddest about you winning. And you help them. But they really genuinely deep down inside mad. They don't even want to talk to you no more, so they find somebody else to talk to because it's like, shit, you winning. You above me now. Let me go talk to somebody that can relate to me that I feel like, you know, ain't past me yet. They not happy. And so when you are sharing your success, like, hey, this is a win for us, you know, some people are really like, well, shit, it's a win for him, but other people going to benefit, so let me crash it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Get you some lemons, take you a shower. You get in that shower, wipe your entire body down from head to toe with some lemons. Cut them open, cut them in half, get you about seven. Wipe your entire body down. Use a half for each limb. Wipe your shit down, and then take you another shower. Visualize the sunshine. Remove any negative energy that sent your way, Smooth, and keep moving. Because we can't fight these hoes. You know what I'm saying? There's no point. The universe is going to take care of it for us. And it could be somebody right up under you that's benefiting from you winning. But because they're not the only one benefiting, then they want to send some fucked up energy your way. It could be somebody that's sitting out on the outside that's not benefiting because they didn't want to go along with the flow and everybody else benefiting and they can't benefit. So fuck you. You know? So it's just, you know, a win for you is torment to the low vibrational entities. So you kind of got to move a little different. And that's the same thing with me. I just, you know, I did some things too, and I was like, you know what? I'm starting to see some shit that look funny. And this ain't the first time that I seen some shit that look funny, so I'm finna do something a little different. It's certain people I removed off my Facebook page because the shit started looking funny. You know, people start fumbling the ball. Man. And these people are around me, but you start fumbling because you think you're moving so good to where, you know, you know, people will get close to people that you know and try to talk to them and give them information and give them shit on you, and they be lying the whole time because they just envious of where you at. You know what I'm saying? Or they just want somebody that paid you attention to pay them attention. But then when they're not getting the same attention that they thought they would get, because they feel like they should be able to get that, then it goes left. So I paid attention to something that's been happening, and several different occasions, and it made me back away and take some people off my Facebook page. That's where I'm at most of the time, on Facebook. So I don't need that particular energy around me, you know what I'm saying, like that. Yeah. Let's just keep our situation the way it is. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to do all that extra shit together. We ain't got to follow each other on social media. We ain't got to do none of that. You know what I'm saying? Keep that shit separate. And that's just the best way for it to be. You don't need to get to know my dude or whoever. You know, you don't need to get to know nobody.
Yeah.
You just sit right there and play your part. Because people are really fucking envious, and people are really on some low vibrational shit because they don't want to do the work that is required for them to ascend. They want something handed to them. And for the people that are ascending, that are high vibrational, I guarantee you each one of them will tell you that shit wasn't easy.
Yeah, so that's why I said,
so
this whole cancel culture is interesting. I'm gonna talk about this later in the world famous chop up. I don't want to go into off on a tangent, but you know, cancel culture. I'm gonna come back to that, like what you said, deleting people on certain social media aspects and stuff like that. So remind me to double back to that. But yeah, but you know what I'm saying, like, so this was dope, man. This was a dope intro. You know what I'm saying, and we definitely got another hot topic tonight.
Right.
Man, we be doing some long ass fucking intros lately, bro.
You know,
like
30 minutes
in.
But
last week was like 10 minutes till 9 before we actually start talking about the topic and shit.
But it's cool.
It'd be good. You know what I'm saying? If it's a word, it's a word.
I felt this was cool. You know, I think we needed to, you know, clear the energy real quick, man. You know what I'm saying? Before we get into the topic, I thought that was good. What's up?
While we're talking that way, That brings us into our topic. What makes you choose a person to deal with, right? Picture this.
You have
women out here, right, that are looking for love, looking for somebody to love them and to be with them, right? And these people, they might be out, they may be intermingling with people, dating people, multiple people, but no one chooses them to be with, right? They chill, they sleep with them, they go. What makes women choose the person that they want to date?
Yeah, I mean, I can go. You know, if you want me to go first, I'll take
it. Yeah, you're the man. How do you been?
All right, so basically, like Black just said, what makes you choose to date a person? And, I think, you know, it's so funny how things just happen for a reason and stuff like that, or certain things come out at certain times. But anyway, hashtag happily married man. But, you know, if I was single or whatever the case may be, I think for me personally, like common interests, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I pride myself on being able to adapt to people, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll find, you know, whatever, anybody. I think, like, I'm well-rounded enough that if I have a conversation with you, I can find some type of thing that I can relate to, that I can learn from you, that maybe you can learn from me, and we can, you know, share that common interest. So that's what gets the door open. And then, of course, attractiveness. You know what I'm saying? I'm so picky when it comes to, like, who I'm kind of attracted to, you know what I'm saying? And there's different levels to it, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's, you know, once again, I'm married. So, you know, as far as a wife that I'm looking for, you know what I'm saying, to have a wife and have her in that role, you know what I'm saying, because I take that seriously, very seriously. But then, you know, on the like I said, the lustful aspects, you know what I'm saying, when I just want to hunt something, you know what I'm saying, like, then a certain attributes I'm looking for with that, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's more physical. You know what I mean? To be honest. And so that's that. That's the second thing. And then what's really important is their situation, your situation, and can it mesh? That's very important. You know what I'm saying? Once again, I'm going to repeat that. Their situation, your situation, can it mesh? You know what I'm saying? So that's the chemistry right there. Like, can we understand each other, where we coming from? You know what I'm saying? And, so that's you know, when I'm analyzing, you know, what would make me choose to date a person, you know, that's my synopsis right there. So, yeah.
Okay, Smooth.
Nah, Annie, you been as Black.
All right, Black. So yeah, what you got? Then
they
want to hear Smooth last. You know what I'm saying?
Here's my thought process on it. I can't say for men, right? But I can say, you know, for women. And here's why, you know, I picked this topic. I'm not going to call anybody name, but it's a person that I know. And we have been, you know, collectively trying to help this person figure out, like, why you are not being chosen. You know what I'm saying? And so, for me, it's like, okay, one, it's you, right? So, when I know that I like a certain type of man, I have to be that person that a certain type of man wants to be attracted to. You know what I'm saying? So when that comes to me wanting what I want, one, I had to do the work on myself. I had to do some changes. You can't have no attitude. You can't be like, you know, whatever. You have to be catering, appreciative, loving. You have to be all of that to a man because a man wants to be nurtured. And honestly, a man is looking for the type of love that he finds in his mother, in his mate. That's to break it down. A man really wants to be loved. He wants to be appreciated. Now, depending on the type of man you are, because you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to have your hair done, lashes done, nails done. Some people like plain Jane people. You don't have to be a certain size, okay? Because the men that I attract are men that like big booties. You know what I'm saying? And that's just that. If you fucking with me, you like big booties, big breasts, big thighs, somewhere along the lines of what I got. You're not worried about your size or none of that extra shit. You just know what you know, okay? Now, your self-esteem got to be intact. Men can sense when you're not confident, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I'm a very confident, voluptuous, plush pal, whatever you want to call it, type of person that I'm cool. I'm not around my dude like, you know, trying to run him or have an attitude all the time or anything like that. Because the number one thing, when you're looking for a king, you have to know how to submit. And if you're dealing with someone that you feel like you can't submit to, then you should not be dealing with that person. That's that. Number two, your hygiene is highly important when you are trying to attract a certain type of man. Now, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, about you, but you have to find your niche. As far as women goes, you got some women that have bushes down there. But if you have a bush down there, you got to make sure that you don't sweat a lot. Because if you're a woman that sweat a lot, you should not have a bush down there. Because that shit going to be musty. Whether you smell it off top or whether you smell it in the end, it's going to be musty. A man don't want to feel like, especially a heterosexual man, he don't want to feel like he laying with a dude. Because that's what must equate to, like, testosterone. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your hygiene on par. You know, your snatch can't be smelling a certain type of way. If you just, like, rocking out with him and y'all haven't established anything as far as y'all trying to be in a relationship and y'all really moving forward, you shouldn't be sleeping with him on the first time y'all link up. Even if y'all haven't seen each other in a while, you should really just let it go. You should show him that you can lay next to him without sleeping with him. There are some men that will wife you for sleeping with them on the first night. Give it 3 nights at minimum. You know, you ain't got to be like these women out here that's doing 90 days and all of that. But, you know, give them a couple of times to be around you and experience who you are. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to agree with everything that he says, but also you can't be stronghold like, I like this, this me, you don't, I don't like that, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? When you come off as that person to where you have so much in order and you're not dealing with a man that's on your level, he's going to, in return, deal with you because he feel like he can get something from you. So you have to have balance in communication. All of these things are working on self, okay? You know, keep in mind that a person is watching how you move. If you a chick and you ain't got no car and you trying to deal with somebody that got their shit together, guess what? He like, now, if you bad, If you bad, I'm talking about curves and all. If you bad, then he might be like, you know, okay, you know what I'm saying? I might can do something with her. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. And it's not about body size. You could be skinny, medium, whatever, and be bad. But if you not bringing nothing to the table for real, if your shit not together, you know what I'm saying, then how are you going to attract somebody with their shit together? And then you might be like, well, he ain't got to be all the way together, but he got to be doing something for himself. What are you doing for yourself? How long have you been established with what you're doing? What do you have to show for? How does your car look? How does your place look? One thing I tell women, it's a lot of dirty women out here. And I tell y'all this, I tell anybody around me, and I say this on the radio show, a man that got something going for himself for real don't like no dirty woman. Even if he know how to clean up for himself, he's going to keep a clean house, even if he's dealing with you. But that is one thing that a man pays attention to. Now, the guy that's dealing with you and you don't like to clean up and he let it be, that's because he dirty himself. But a man that really got something going for himself, he don't like a dirty woman. So as y'all courting, dating, et cetera, he paying attention to everything. He paying attention to the corners. He paying attention to every single thing that's in your living space. Trust and believe you me. You know what I'm saying? So being cleanliness is next to godliness, right?
True.
So you
True.
Can't say that you're a queen and you're a god and you're not clean for real. There are women that are absolutely beautiful and don't have a job but keep a man. Why? They're absolutely beautiful because they keep themselves clean, they keep themselves up, they keep themselves right. And their confidence is through the roof, and they know their beauty and their looks going to get them whatever they want. Understand me. You know what I'm saying? Boom. After that, it's more so like, okay, so I'm putting myself out there for the person I want to attract because I know the type of man that I attract. I know the type of man that I like to attract, right? On the flip side, for a man, what makes me choose the man that I want to date? I look at a lot of shit. Number one, we have to spend time with each other because I got to make sure what you're telling me is aligning up with what is going on in reality. You have to have some shit going on with yourself because I got a lot of shit going on for myself. So you gotta have a job. You got to be stable, or you got to have your own business. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a retirement plan or something already in position. Guess what? I don't normally date young men, right? I never, ever really dated anybody younger than me until last year. That's when it started. I went through something and I started dating younger men. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it happened. Now, let me tell you something. The people that are younger than me, these motherfuckers are together. You know what I'm saying? Businesses, 10 years, retirement plan, and all kind of shit. And you ain't even, you know, you ain't even close to 40 yet. I mean, you might be, you know, 36, 37. But, you know, you already got your life established. So why would I deal with a 42, 43, 45-year-old that life isn't established when you got these people out here 35, 36, 37, and they already got everything planned out, what they want to do, how they want to do it, marriage, et cetera, et cetera. I look at what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? For you. Not that I need you, but I need you to have you together. You know what I'm saying? I look at, you know, how you carry yourself. I love a man that smells good all the time. Because guess what? I'm going to have my perfume, body spray, this spray, whatever spray. So I definitely look to see, because he's smelling good. Most importantly, I look at his shoes. If you ever come around me with some dirty shoes, then you probably know that she like, that's probably ain't going to work. I can't deal with a man with dirty shoes. So when you are the package, you got your shit together, you know what I'm saying, you got children, you're a father, you're not bashing none of your baby mamas to me. Hey, it didn't work, but I'm still doing for my kids. And I see, because niggas will be like, oh, I do for my kids, and they ain't did nothing for their kids in over a year. I see this is going, then you, okay, you know what, that's somebody that I can see myself with. So it's a lot of things that I pay attention to before I choose them. If I choose somebody that I know, like, need, you know, they have potential, but they just not there yet, I choose them, but it never works out. It never pans out for me. So I know that when I'm choosing that person, it's a job. It's a charity act that the universe wants me to go through. And if I pass this test, then the universe is going to give me what I want. You know what I'm saying? I went through that. I took on a charity case on somebody that was nowhere near qualified to deal with me, but I didn't doubt him. I didn't treat him any less. I still rock with him. I still made sure, you know what I'm saying, we was aligned. He felt great, et cetera, et cetera. And when my charity case was over, the universe sent in what I want was for me, the person for me. So understand, you know, you have lessons and things that you have to be able to acknowledge and go through as well when you're out here dating. And I call it charity. People might call it something else. That's just the name that I use because it's charity. You do this work. It's humanitarian work. You do this work and greatness comes out of it, you know. Ain't nobody ever knew that he was a charity case to me. You know what I'm saying? I'd never tell anybody his name. But at the end of the day, I did it. And guess what? The reward for that was so amazing that it was crazy. And the karma that comes from being right by people, even when they aren't aligned or they're not ready to receive or go to that next level, is also amazing. So it's about who you are as a package for me. And after all of that is said and done, the sex got to be good. Now, here's the thing. You could get somebody with a package that don't know how to use it, you can work with that. But you get somebody that know how to use it, but they don't have no package, that's something that you want to think about. So that's all that I'm saying. That's something that I would think about. So as long as they got a package, you know what I'm saying, then that I like, then we Gucci. That's how I would choose my mate. You know what I'm saying? I don't really want a person. I don't want a man. And we go back to saying, you know, this is the new age and this is that and the other and, you know, da-da-da. I don't want a man that is my leader that's fucked up and got a bunch of shit going on. I look for my man, my king, my daddy to be a provider, a protector, a leader, you know what I'm saying, and all of the above. And so if you can't be that, because I have boys, so if you can't be that example to my children, then you can't be that to me. Especially so I have to think about my children in the whole mix of the situation as well.
That's what's up. Real talk.
So
smooth. What it do, man? What it do?
I don't know what the hell y'all talking about. But for me, I mean, I'm simple. It's the mental stimulation for me. You see what I'm saying? Because all I really want is the pussy, but your pussy ain't shit. So if you want me to choose you, I'm not even looking to choose you. But if you can stimulate me mentally, you see what I'm saying? If you can keep my attention, you see what I'm saying? If we can go back and forth with wits, or if you can bring something to a conversation, then and only then would I even think about considering to choose you. You see what I'm saying? Like the whole bullshit and not arguing, no. A motherfucker ain't going to choose you or keep you from correction. There's a difference. A motherfucker ain't going to keep you if you're trying to pretend to be something you're not. You see what I'm saying? Because eventually the lies always come out. So for me, it's just the mental stimulation. I don't need the other bullshit as far as, you know what I'm saying, trying to pretend to be something you're not. All I need you to do is mentally stimulate me because I'm going to get the pussy anyway. Like, fuck your bitch and your pussy ain't shit because guess what? They got a negative. They got a bitch in the other room. They have a bitch downstairs. But in order for me to choose, you got to stimulate me mentally. I don't need you to be successful, or I don't need you to say, hey, man, this is what I'm doing for school and shit, because I can make you if I choose to. But if I choose to choose you, you have to be able to stimulate me mentally. And that's it.
All right. Interesting. I don't know, Black. So I think we did a round table on this. You know what I'm saying? All right. I'm trying to think. What else? What else we can
So basically, he's saying they got to be interesting and so on and so forth. And He said if the pussy was trash, you got to be interested. But there are some men that, you know, and that, I tell people, it don't matter if your pussy's garbage. There are some men, if they looking
wait,
for
hold
a wife.
You said it, wait, hold on. You said it don't matter? If the,
listen.
Well,
it
can't be garbage.
Well, this is what I'm going to tell
you. Can't be
well, if you look at it like this, don't get me wrong, because I got a bitch, you know what I'm saying, I ain't with the bitch for sex. It is trash. You know what I'm saying?
It can't be garbage for me. I need that chemistry.
No,
that's part of my chemistry.
You know what I'm saying? That ain't for me. That don't mean motherfucker ain't gonna hit the reset button and go get something else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm gonna keep you, but bitch, you got a sister wife now. Come on, let's fuck around with you. But yeah, I got some whack pussy on my squad. It's ridiculous. I'm so embarrassed to even say it. But continue, Black. Finish your statement.
Because I can work with females, you know what I'm saying? But if it's just whack, like, yo, I, you know what I'm saying?
No,
that's no chemistry. That's no passion to me.
No, I can't say that's chemistry. You can still have chemistry with whack-ass sex. I mean, sex is not chemistry. You see what I'm saying? Sex is just the performance. You know what I'm saying?
That's the chemistry,
What's more saying?
So
like, love is the vessel. Love it embodies the vessel, and sex is the glue, right? But loyalty is the vessel. So I say all the time, I wouldn't marry anybody for love. You have a lot of men that don't marry their spouse because their sex is great. Because they feel like if your sex is great, how many people have you given this to? How many people have you done this to? Oh, I can teach you how to have sex. Are you loyal to me? Can I like you? Can I have a conversation? Can I love you? You have that happen more than not. Most of the time, men that's out cheating because they got somebody at home that don't know what they're doing. Look at the video with Rashida and Kirk, put it on him, make him want to marry me. And she was all into that song, thinking like she really be putting it on him and making him want to marry her. And Kirk giving her the side eye like, if you don't sit the fuck down some damn well, like, you can tell he's not with her because of sex. He's there because it was because they built a lot. They have an empire. It's cheaper to keep her.
Hold up, Black. Didn't you just say, I swear, it was last week you had a quote, because I remember. You said, something, you know what I'm saying? Especially like your relationship, and then the shit go whack or something. Once you had that whack ass sex, you out. Didn't you say that? You out. Like, you just, that's what you just waiting on. You know what I'm saying? He might be putting it down.
That's me. I'm talking about men that are wife and chicks. They don't really want them to have the good sex. That's not it. So
really?
Women be like, oh, my sex, my niggas don't look for that.
That's
you got some men that want trophies.
Different.
Yeah, we know you are. You are old pimp. But, you know, you have men that want trophies, or you have men that, you know what I'm saying, the sex got to be on point to them. But you would never know, because they still going to do it to you. They still going to give it to you. They still going to rock out with you. You just don't know if the sex is good. So what I'm saying to the women out there, your sex has nothing to do with it for the most part. It's more so your hygiene. It's more so how you treat him. Oh. Most importantly, how you treat him. You know what I'm saying? A dude or wife, a chick that wear a ponytail in her head, her hair, her natural hair and a ponytail, that's the innocence of it all. She's low maintenance. She ain't around here trying to put weave in her hair all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Men like that. It's your energy. How are you acting towards him?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, I got to have passion. I got to have passion. I have to have passion. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if I don't have a passion, then, yeah. And sex is part of the passion for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's got to be, you know, that's got to be on point. All that other stuff, like I said, is messing with it. But that chemistry for me, like I said, I can't speak on other guys. That's part of the passion. I got to have that lustfulness. You know what I'm saying? I got to want to take that down, you know what I'm saying? I got to be able to look at you so often, like, okay, yeah, I just, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I guess that's for me. I ain't, you know, so everybody, you know, to each his own. But, yeah, that's what definitely makes me choose a dating person. Once again, common interests, attractiveness, their situation, my situation, can it mesh, and chemistry, you know what I'm saying, to end it on that note. So, once again, Black, You know what I'm saying? Another dope topic, man. Like, keep it coming. Keep it coming. These relationship joints is dope, man, because we're going a little deeper. You know what I'm saying? We're going beneath the surface. You know, a lot of times we'll just do, like, the sex topics and like, speaking of. But like I said, it's, you know, levels to it. So I like how we're digging deeper into the different levels of, you know, what's under the surface instead of, you know, it's just, you know, clear for everybody to see. You know what I'm saying? So
that's dope. Let's get this one thing straight.
Just
because I choose you don't mean I'm going to keep you.
No, that's a number one. That's
you know what I'm saying?
Smooth cop and blow. But I feel you. And yeah, and then that's what I'm saying. So if you're going to keep her, she got to have all those attributes, you know what I'm saying, because now she on the team. You know what I'm saying? She's trying out for the squad. So, you know, to make
like,
the team.
You got to look at it like this. There's entry levels to every position.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? But just like you can get hired, you can get fired.
Facts.
So
that's 100%.
Like, to get in, that's how we're going to start putting it. Like, but to get in with me, you see what I'm saying? It's an assimilation. See, like, the shit you were saying, that's more on the level of keeping them after you choose them. You see what I'm saying? Because, like, now you're talking about chemistry and how sexy she is and everything else like that.
Yeah.
But if you go by the old school, right, prior to your fucking smartphones and all this other bullshit, if you didn't meet somebody outside, you met them over the phone. You know what I'm talking about? So in them occasions, met somebody over the phone, y'all had a conversation. You know how it is, man. Look, you be on the phone, you hear a broad in the background or some shit, and you know your partner pass you the phone. You get
number.
Ninth
grade, I had
converse.
The worst experience
right.
ever.
But y'all start
they
conversing everything else
ever.
Like that. So in the process of conversing. Y'all start to have a conversation that's stimulating. You know what I'm talking about? She's stimulating you verbally. You stimulating her verbally. You actually start to feel something towards that person. Now, I'm not saying you're going to keep feeling something towards that person, but you're like, damn, I can possibly choose this bitch, right? So, like, damn, y'all might actually start dating over the phone that y'all finally meet, and the bitch ugly
nah,
now.
Bro, that's,
well, now you're the unchosen bitch.
I got to stop. I got to stop you. And I'm like, come on, hold on. So I know this ain't smooth talking. You sound like you a catfish. Like you about a catfish away from getting catfish. That's the definition of catfish. Would you just
This is for everybody that was born in the 80s. You see what I'm saying? Because, like, regardless of the fact, this is before the computer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So there was no catfishing back in the day because guess what? It's not like I could tell the bitch to send me a picture and she didn't have to mail it. That's how it used to be.
We just used to call it blind dates back in the day. Smooth.
Well,
like
a blind date
blind
is actually
dates.
Going to see a person in person. That's the difference. I'm talking about over the phone at first.
But
you know what I'm saying?
You got to see the person eventually. You ain't going to just be
let me tell y'all some funny shit real quick. Listen, let me tell you some funny shit. We talk about back in the 80s, right? I had this cousin and she used to live on these chat lines and shit, right? And she used to be on there and she had a way with words and she would be like, I'm pleasantly plump, round and curvaceous. She was big as fuck. I'm pleasantly plump, round and curvaceous. They say that I favor Janet Jackson. And when a motherfucker get there, they sit down and chill. They be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm talking about bigger than a motherfucker. And I was like, damn. Like, I be listening to her and I was young. And I be looking on the phone like, damn, she describing, who the hell she describing? I've been trying to figure it out. But shit, she had that shit going on, man. But man, that shit was a lot like a motherfucker.
I remember that shit
happening. You know, I've gotten catfished too. Like I told you real quick. We ride down the street. You know, we back home in Orlando. We ride down the street. You know, me and my homegirl. And so we look over and we see these two brothers. You know, in the truck next to us. They eyeing us, we eyeing them. You know, woonty-woon, what's up? So, out of nowhere, you know, my homegirl was like, my homegirl single. So I'm laughing, like, why you gonna tell this man that? Like, mind your business. So he like, hey, what's your phone number? She talking to the driver. That's who she talking to, the driver.
Yeah.
Why the passenger done snuck and wrote my number down, too. Now, I'm talking to this man on the phone for a minute. I finally say, okay, come see me. You know, he looking good. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Wait, good. That's why you did.
He was looking good. You know, I'm like, okay, come see me.
Okay.
The wrong nigga.
So the man come see me, and I was like, damn, this nigga don't look like who I thought I gave my number to, right? So he being nice and, you know, chilling and all of this stuff. So I'm like, damn, you know. I hit my girl. He had been there the whole day. I hit my girl. I say, he don't really look like the person. You know, I don't know what I was thinking about. I don't know what you think gave him my number. She was like, girl, he's fine as hell. I say, no. No, he ain't. Not up close.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, he's back in the day. So she said, I don't know what you're talking about, friend, but come get me. We ain't got the internet. We ain't big and all this stuff here. So I go pick her up in the car. She was like, don't come to my house because I don't know what's going on. I'm going to meet you down the street. Man, I go pick her up, and I'm like, she get in the car. She texts me. She say, that's not him. That's his friend. Bitch, I'm madder than a motherfucker. This nigga broke down, down bad, sad, need a place to stay. And so shit like that happened. I seen you, and you still catfish me. So you kind of got to be mindful.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, I need all all five, what, we got five senses, right? Yeah, all I need to have, you know, because all five of my senses work, you know what I'm saying? So,
thank you,
you know what I'm saying? So I need to, you know, I need to be able to see you and like, damn, I'm attracted to you. I'm looking at them curves, you know what I'm saying? You fit what I'm looking for, you know what I'm saying? Then, as far as what's moving, we talk about the stimulation. Can she hold a conversation? Do she sound nice? You know, like, does she sound pleasant when I talk to her? You know what I'm saying? Is it that's a stimulation? That's my hearing. And then, do she smell good? You know what I'm saying? So when I roll up on her, I'm getting close to her. Like, you know, like does her aura, ambiance? You know what I'm saying? Does that just smell and turn me on? And then the touch. You know, is she soft? You know what I'm saying? Does she got them? You know what I'm saying? So I need all that. You know what I'm saying? So I can't just be on the phone and shit. Like, fuck that. You know what I'm saying?
I remember the good old days, but regardless of the fact, it was still mental stimulation. You feel what I'm saying? That's what made me choose. Now, your ugliness made me, you know what I'm saying, release to this.
Made you get fired real quick on the first day?
Right. Woo, fire, nigga. I walked off like I was knocked on the wrong door.
Yeah, that was in ninth grade, man. I got catfish, you know, like blind date, man. She sounded so good. Like, she had the sexiest voice ever. You know, this is the 90s, man. So, you know, you on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
You got your slow jams in the background. You know what I'm saying? I got my little slow jam
on the
tape.
Phone all
made,
night long.
All night, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, okay, we're about to link. Man, listen, I was like, never again, man. So I learned my lesson back then, ninth grade, so. Yeah, man. So, once again, dope topic. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, this was dope, man. So, you know, without further ado, we got about a half an hour left in the show. So, we're going to get into my favorite part of the show. This is the world-famous chop-up. So, this is the part of the show where I get a chance to talk my shit, you know what I'm saying, certain things that I thought was interesting throughout the week. So, before I get into it, because, you know, I got a few different topics I can get into. Black. Was there anything you was tripping on this past week?
No, because with everything going on, I stayed off social media because we know how social media gets.
Okay.
When somebody passed away, they so involved, but they weren't involved when they was here. So rest in peace, DMX, and rest in peace,
Black Rob.
Yeah, man. So I guess I'll start out with that, man. So definitely, you know, RIP DMX. You know, I think his funeral should be coming up pretty soon. I think he's going to have, like, it at Yankee Stadium, man. So it's going to be a big big send-off for that, man. It'll probably be kind of similar to when Nipsey Hussle a couple years ago because, you know, DMX and Nipsey, they was on that status, man, where they was beloved by a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? So so it'll be good, man, just to see DMX, you know, and his send-off, man. I'm glad he's getting his roses now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because people always respected DMX. And this is, you know, we kind of touched base on this towards the end of the show. But people always, you know, respected DMX or whatever. But, you know, because of his vulnerabilities and stuff like that, when people found out that he had an addict, you know, he had an addiction and stuff like that, that kind of made people look at him a little sideways, but it's just great to see him, like, be really appreciated and for the vulnerableness, you know what I'm saying? So it's not even the part that, like, you know, because everybody try to play the role, like, their life is great or whatever, but, you know, we all humans, like I said, man, the weather changes. You got your ups, you got your downs, you got your good days, bad days, stormy weather, sunny weather, so, you know, that's life. And, you know, DMX embodied that, man, so, you know, that, you know, he really will be missed, but at the same time, he left his mark, man, and it's like he left a nice legacy, you know what I'm saying? So you can go back and, you know, watch Belly or listen to some of his features that he did or, you know, some of his, you know, hit records, and you can get into a zone, man, because he definitely had a vibe about him, you know what I'm saying? It's just irreplaceable. So, you know, shout out to the homie, DMX. And then, you know, the other sad part about it was Black Rob. Just a quick 5-second moment of silence for Black Rob. You know, RIP to him. You know, that was sad too because, you know, that picture, you know, the surfaced online or whatever, like he was like basically getting out, you know, looking at it, he was on his deathbed and, you know, he was, you know, just giving prayers to DMX, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, a week later, you know, he's gone too. So it's just sad, man. So, you know, shout out to Black Rob, man. That whoa still go hard. You know what I'm saying? I was playing that a couple times, man. So, you know, just, you know, rest in peace, man. It's a lot of, rappers, man, going, man. It's
yeah, he had an illness. Look at him, I don't know, okay. And they're probably going to cover it up, but he had some type of illness that actually, you know, took him under. He did a video he was supposed to be talking about himself, and he was just basically saying, like, how he was in so much pain. He didn't have a steady place to stay. His homeboy would help him out from time to time, but they both was fucked up. And he couldn't really talk. But he had an illness because if you look at his skin had got extremely black. His teeth was extremely fragile. So it was something going on with him. But whatever it is, I'm glad that he's not suffering anymore.
Kidney failure.
Oh, wow. So that's what it was. So, yeah, you could tell because he did just look really, very, very sickly in that last picture to surface, man. But, you know, it seems like, you know, he don't have to suffer no more. He's on, you know. That's why I definitely wanted to say rest in peace to him, man, because it seemed like, you know, it seemed like he was kind of suffering towards the end, man. So, yeah, man, rest in peace. So with that, to kind of switch it up, let me see here. So what else we got? All right, so I'm going to double back down to this whole cancel culture situation I was telling you about. Black, you hit on it on the nose, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I get tired of hearing this cancel culture because it just be too crazy, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole, you know, everybody got to be so politically correct, and if somebody try to just be who they are, you know, they get canceled. You know, it's be like, oh, no, we're not going to support this person because they didn't did this, and then it kind of wipes out all the stuff good that they did, maybe because they slipped up and did something, something left. So, yeah, I don't respect that, but you do got to use the cancel culture in your own right. You know what I'm saying? And you just said it, like, you know, you was on your Facebook and you just saw some people with just, like, the not proper energy. You know what I'm saying? So you had to kind of just clear that out. And, I did that, too. And I did that, too, with a person I was a fan of, man, but I just couldn't take it anymore, man. It kind of hurt my heart, man, because I had to just stop watching
the
show.
Yeah, the
man
had a dress on. I know what you're talking about.
No,
Kid Cudi. Yeah. With your damn dress wearing ass.
Yeah, he looked crazy, right? I know you saw that picture, man. I still dig Cudi's music, man. But this dress thing, man, really, you know. But I can't listen to it right now. You gotta give me some time, man. So right now it's on pause. It's not canceled, but it's on pause. But the person that I am canceling, unfortunately, I had canceled Jemele Hill. You know what I'm saying? She was like a person I really liked, man, as a female, you know, sports journalist. I thought she was dope. Then she just got too political, and I didn't agree with her politics, and it just got to be too much. It got to be to the part that where her politicalness took over from her sportsness, you know what I'm saying? And that's the part that I dug about. I thought, you know, I always respect a female that can talk sports, man, because I love sports. So a female that can go hand in hand with me, I just think it's dope because they see it in a different way. Like much like when we talking to Black on certain things, you know, Black is gonna get a female perspective, and I learned some stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I had to cancel her. So then, fellow New Orleans from your town, Smooth Michael Smith, right? So brother from another. You know what I'm saying? I was so happy for that guy, man, because I was like, damn, you know, they, like I said, him and Jamel had a cool thing. That's what I was saying. You know, they had the His and Hers show. Riding high on ESPN to the whole Kaepernick situation, and then shit hit the fan. But, you know, Michael Smith, man, I respected him because he was, you know, young dude doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? And then you could see he was so passionate about the show, and that's why I just felt bad when it just, you know, I guess, you know, hit the fan or whatever, and it just, you know, ESPN just kind of broke up with a lot of people that was there for years. So anyway, you know, years later, a few years later, this new show, a brother from another, and I was really rocking with it. I was supporting him, man, you know. A couple times we had went, you know, back and forth on Twitter or whatever, and I was, you know, I was supporting him, but I would always just try to say, you know, things that I was like, yo, man, like, I dig the show, but, you know, you want to bring in some people. Everybody don't think the way you think. You know what I'm saying? So you want to bring in some people that's just with a different point of view, man. That's what's going to open it up, especially when we're doing the whole Trump thing. So anyway, I guess I say that to say this. I finally had to just stop watching the show because it just became like a pity party. Like every time I watched the show, I just felt like my energy just getting drained. And I'm like, damn, man, I listen. I want to watch sports shows to learn some shit. You know what I'm saying? Or relate. And when I just see it getting political, and then it's just like, dude, are you really about sports? And then, you know, you're going political, but I don't even, you know, your stances and certain things, I just don't even think you qualify to even be in that realm. And, like, you got your thing from sports. That's what I thought you knew, and now you're not even passionate about that. You're more passionate about the political part. It just got confusing, man. So I had to cancel it, man. I don't even watch him no more. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had to clear my space on that. You know what I'm saying? So I just think a lot of times you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I stopped watching the news. And then he became news. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you first really started coming on the show, we had this debate. I was like, yo, man, I don't watch the news. I rock with Twitter. You thought that was just foreign at the time. I remember. But that's one of the reasons, man, because the news to me is so draining, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like I said, it's Smooth, it seems like you're pretty good at deciphering it, you know, just getting your business, you know, things and stuff like that. But a lot of people, they don't decipher it that way. It just comes into their consciousness, and, you know, and that's not good. So that's why I just had to, you know, kind of cut it out, because I just saw the technology and I saw the conditioning. And it just seemed like this dude just became a victim of that, man. It's sad to me because I thought he was when you see a person that used to be so joyous of the way they're doing their job, and now they just sound depressed and everything's fucked up. And, you know, every time it's a shooting, you want to talk about that. And then, I mean, I get it, bringing awareness, but, like, every show is just sad and shit, or how fucked up politics is and all that other stuff. So anyway, I had to just free that energy. So I kind of understand where you was coming from, Black. So, you know, that's important, man. Your space, your visual, what you're listening to has got to be inspirational. It's got to be, you know, things that's going to get you, you know, going, you know what I'm saying, for the day. Things that get you inspired. So I think that's very important. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on that. So now switching gears. Oh, and then the last thing I'll say, too, and this is just for my Black people out there listening. It's a lot going on, you know what I'm saying? Of course, the scale is always tipped to the other side, you know what I'm saying? We get that, you know what I'm saying? We know we got to work, you know, if you know, a lot of times if we're going from the same position as somebody that's of a different, how can I put it, a different color, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, in most cases, you got to work extra harder, you know what I'm saying, because the other person might have been just put in position and you got to hustle harder or whatever. But we kind of know how that is. But at the same time, we can't keep using it as an excuse, you know what I'm saying? You got to figure it out, you know what I'm saying, because it is opportunities here. It's not the worst. You got to just figure the shit out. So I just want to say this lastly, because especially like whenever it's a shooting and stuff like that, it just seems like it's just, especially in the social media time, it's just like that, the new news. Oh, now we got to get all on point on this. You know what I'm saying? Let's start buying. Let's start doing this. And let's start doing that, getting all emotional and not making no, thought out decisions. long story short, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to rant on this too long, but I just want people to realize that, especially like my black people, that racism has become a business. You know what I'm saying? It has become a business. You know what I'm saying? Like, the business of race is a business. Like, I'm seeing shows cater to it. I'm seeing, like I said, my sports shows where it used to be about the athlete, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, the competition of it. Now, you know, they want to talk race on everything. Even like on, you know, that's why I really rock with Colin Cowherd, because to me, he, you know, he's the last person just keeping it sports and, like, you know, give his analyzation, but he don't really get into the racial shit that you see so many of. Like, for example, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. You know what I'm saying? Racism is always a major team. It's just like, yo, that's just a business now. It's this new show that I was going to give a chance to. But then I'm like, yo, they back on this race shit too, just making money off of it. It's called Them. I think it's a new Amazon show. And it's just like, yo, it's just a business, man. And it's just like, it's going to keep a divide. It's going to keep us restless. It's going to keep us, like, from, instead of focusing on us as a people, just bettering ourselves and bettering our community, we got to talk this race stuff. Instead of just focusing, man, and just doing better. We the only culture that constantly has to talk about this shit every time. You know what I'm saying? Where other cultures can just slip in and do what they need to do to come up. And I just think we got to wake up on that, man. So that's my rant on that. I'm going to leave it at that.
What the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? What's up? Go ahead. You got something to say about it? Talk about that.
Man. Goddamn. All right. So there's one thing that you got to understand is that there's a difference between black people and all the other races, right? When a conversation about race comes up with the other cultures, there's a start, there's a middle, and then there's an end, right? When the conversation comes up about race with black people, there's just a start and a middle. You see what I'm saying? The reason why you keep having conversations about race, because ain't nothing getting done. You see what I'm saying? So the problem with, now don't get me wrong, I understand what you're saying as far as race is a business, because it is a fucking business, and business is booming for the wrong side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because, like, the more you talk about something, right, the more somebody hears it without no action being done, you see what I'm saying, the less effective it becomes. That's why race is a business now, because the more they talk about it, the nothing gets done, right? If you keep hearing something over and over and over, eventually it loses its impact. You don't care anymore. You know what I'm saying?
It's just too much, man.
If you get an argument about the same thing with your wife, right? Listen, mm-hmm. y'all have an argument about the same subject over and over. Eventually it loses its weight. So that's why race is a business, because, I mean, at the end of the day, if I keep them talking about it, you see what I'm saying, eventually it's not going to be as effective when it comes out to everybody else being affected by it. So there will be no legislation and shit. Yeah, you have the occasional TV shows, oh, my God, this person got shot, that person got shot. Well, guess what? That's big fucking news regardless of that, because it's a ingrained vision. Every race has their own stereotype. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes down to our stereotype, our stereotype is a threat. Okay. So if you keep pushing the notion that black is a threat, black is bad, subconsciously you're always going to have a situation. You see what I'm saying? Where people that may think that they're cool is going to naturally think there's something bad or something wrong with you. So, like, you talk about, let's not focus on the race side. Let's just focus on, you know,
the
improvement side.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you would still have to talk about race, because in order for you to take care of yourself and your own, you would have to divide. You would have to separate. That is the only way you're able to actually handle your business. You see what I'm saying? You can't never handle your business with somebody else. That's why when you're on that when you're on that path of getting paid, the only person around you is you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you include somebody else, when you include somebody else, a different branch into your struggle, you see what I'm saying? That's where you start to focus. So you have to separate. You have to, you would have to put everybody in one location, in one community, so that we can be able to sustain ourselves.
Oh, that's what you was talking about, your whole your philosophy on the segregation. You were saying it might be a good thing. That's what you were saying. That's, you know, you just kind of reiterating that fact.
Well, I'm saying that you talk about the whole race thing, man. The whole race thing is real because you're constantly saying the same shit. And the thing that you keep saying is people that look like you getting shot habitually, consistently, every day. Every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but but you know what?
You need the riot. You need the fucking riot.
I get it. Smooth. I do. I get that part. I understand. We did that all last year. We did. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm just trying to say is, it's time for us to educate ourselves. And like I say, you're always gonna have exceptions to the rule with shit. Even the most clean cut, or, you know, I'm not even trying to say that's the stereotype it should be, but the person is just doing the right thing can still get it. You know what I'm saying? On a you know, because it could be fucked up. But what I'm just trying to say is, we still as a community, as a black community, just gotta, you know, hold ourselves accountable as well, and just, you know, educate ourselves to not put ourselves in these compromising positions. You know what I'm saying? That's the point that I'm just trying to say. You know what I'm saying? We understand that shit can be fucked up, but don't give the person a reason. Don't give them that leverage to be able to use it on you, and then to make it, you know, now they can, you know, get off because, oh, he was resisting arrest, or, oh, you know, he was reaching for something that I thought was his gun. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. We got to educate ourselves to just be better. You know what I'm saying? To not, oh, fuck the police. You know what I'm saying? They always fucking with me because the guy stops you for a traffic ticket or whatever. I know it's fucked up, but just go through the motions. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case may be. Don't put yourself in a compromising position where you give them to leverage to make an excuse like, oh, he had it coming because he resisted arrest. That's all I'm trying to say. Because it seems a lot of times with these things, it happens. And then because, like, and look, this isn't new. This isn't new. Like, this shit's been happening since the beginning of time in this thing we call America. It's not new at all. But the thing is, now it becomes a business because now everybody has a cell phone. So everything's on social media. So, and then a lot of times, you're not on social media like that. You know, you got your BlackBerry. But what I'm saying, a lot of times, it's just throwing meat to the wolves. What I mean by that is, a lot of times the story ain't even straight. They just throw it out there, and then everybody just run with it. And then, you know what I'm saying? We ain't even got down to what really, really happened. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm trying to say. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And it just seems like, you know, and then to your other point, Smokey, you said, oh, when you keep talking about something over and over again, you keep having the same argument again, it loses its venom because it's just being done. So what I'm just saying, so with all these race shows coming out, different slave movies or different stuff like that, it just becomes so vague that, like, you know, I can see if it has more impact if, all right, we rally behind this and we did it and now we make some change. But if it's every other week, it's something, it just gets draining. And then that's why I said, and then it gets to the point where certain people get so manipulated to that fact that it takes all their energy. And then you saw something, like I'm just saying, like, I keep using, like I said, Jemele Hill and Michael Smith, just as, you know, I hate to keep using them as examples because I just see it. Like, they just, it changed them. And, you know, maybe certain people will see it and be like, no, that changed them for the better because they're not even revolutionaries or whatever the case may be. But I see their spirit getting taken or getting tainted now. Like, damn, like, man, you were so joyous and happy. Now it seems like you're broken now. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that I don't want to keep continuing happening to our people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like this. That's like a child. You know what I'm saying? That all of a sudden they saw too much at a young age, and they, you know, and now they're not pure no more. I mean, of course, as you get age, you know, as you age and you know, you mature, you're going to see certain things, but that shit could get stunted if you see too much too soon. It could fuck you up. You know what I'm saying?
you're not supposed, certain kids ain't supposed to see certain things until they get to a certain level of maturity where they can handle it. If they see it too early, that can fuck them up psychologically. And it just seems like I see that, you know what I'm saying? And that's all I'm trying to say, because, like, damn, man, like, especially when I was, because, like, when I fucks with you, I fucks with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as friendships or just, you know, I might be just a fan of your artistry or whatever. And then so if I fucks with you, I'm analyzing you. And then when I see a change, I'm like, damn, what happened? You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's all I'm trying to say. Like I said, this was a long rant, but I definitely appreciate your point of view on it. So with that being the case, switching to the sports report real quick. All right. Well, hey, that's useful.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's what we do out here. That whole let that shit ride shit, fuck that. Bitch, you're going to earn your paycheck.
I get it. Hey, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, just know it comes with repercussions sometimes. But that's it. So, with that being the case, sports report. So, a couple of big news and two teams that I'm really following, you know, that I'm a fan of. First off, my hometown team, the Browns. Shout out to the Cleveland Browns, man. They just signed Jadeveon Clowney to shore up that defense. So now he's going to be on the other side of Myles Garrett. They cut bait with Sheldon Richardson, which was a smart move because he was overpaid, not contributing what, you know, we thought he would contribute. And now we got an upgrade with Jadeveon Clowney. So now our defense is stout. You know what I'm saying? They signed a safety not too long ago, so they shored up the back end. So, yeah, man, they looking good, man. I like where they're headed. We're going to see what OBJ, you know what I'm saying, going to do. Odell Beckham, you know what I'm saying, coming back from his injury. Baker, of course, you know what I'm saying, but now it's a lot of pressure, you know, but I think we built for it, you know what I'm saying, we got great coaching, like I said, we got a young black GM, I think he's Harvard educated, man, smart guy, running things, I think we finally got the pieces to the puzzle, man, it really makes some noise, man, so them Cleveland Browns, man, watch them, man, I think they're going to do some big things this year, you know, we got a 17-game season, I don't know how I feel about that, I still fucks with the 16 games, I like NFL being 16 games because I just think, unlike NBA where it could be just a long, drawn-out season, you wait on the playoffs, and then who cares about baseball, but you know, baseball is a long, drawn-out season too, you know, football every week matters, and that's what makes it so great and compelling television, and you know, you know, the competitiveness, because you got to win every week, you know what I'm saying, but now when it gets 17 games, it's like, is that overkill? But it's still football, so,
man,
you know.
15 games is overkill.
What's that? 15 games?
I said,
you gotta play
no, 16
it.
Games is overkill, dog. Like,
well, you
like,
not a football fan, so you don't understand, man. I got to talk boxing with you, but, nah, 16 games
I know,
is perfect. Look,
I'm glad I didn't play football
perfect.
In high school or college, my nigga. I mean, I know football. That's why I said 16 games is just too fucking much. Man,
yeah,
like.
Man, 16 games, that's 4 months. 4 months, that's not too bad. 4 months out of 12 months? That ain't too bad, man. 16
man,
games
just,
and one game a week.
It's
not like you're playing multiple
probably.
Games during the week. What's up?
I'll do 14, maybe even 12. 16, them extra two, like, no, because, like, look at it like this. See, you say you're okay with 16 games, but then when they talk about 17, which is one more, then you're like, I don't know, that just sounds like too much. Well, damn, if it's just one number over, well, then fuck 16 games is too many games, too.
I get you, man, but seven, it's, you know, 16 was a nice round number, and, you know, they've had it 16 games at least since, if I'm not mistaken, since, like, about 1990.
Right.
I could be wrong. But it's been rocking out, man. It's been great, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it's a money grab. I see it as a money grab, the whole COVID situation. You know, they're not going to have the four preseason games, you know, I think, because you used to have four preseason games leading up to the 16 games. But that was good, especially for the young talent that was trying to make the team.
Yeah, you
know,
needed
the veterans.
The preseason.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I'm trying to say. But now, because too many people was getting hurt and stuff like that, so now they kind of like, all right, we're going to do maybe, I don't know, they probably do three preseason games, and now they added that, you know, what would have been a four preseason game as a 17th regular season game. So,
and that's going to cause
we'll
more injury. That's going to cause more injury.
We're going to see
because
how
like for one,
out.
instead of that 17th game being a preseason game, where nobody's really going all out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
motherfuckers.
Unless you try to make the team.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, motherfuckers is interchanging throughout the game. You know what I'm talking about? So
yeah.
You don't have to worry about motherfuckers getting injured during a fucking long fucking
seconds.
Game.
Yeah.
Well, I'm done.
Interesting. Interesting. The last thing on this 90
second thing, man, the last thing that just, oh, man, that hurt my heart, man, was LaMarcus Aldridge, man, like the Nets. I was really fucking with the Nets. I talked about LaMarcus Aldridge, man. Like, he was really had a great chemistry with Kyrie, man. Like, and it was looking like the LaMarcus Aldridge that used to play with Dame Lillard back in Portland. Anyway, you know, he had to retire a couple days ago, man. So he was only with the Nets for like 2 weeks. But, yeah, apparently he had a regular heartbeat, and he only wanted to chance it. You know, he was on Twitter saying that, I guess that last night that he played and his heart was racing, that it was scary because he thought his heart was going to explode or something like that. Something real, real scary shit. So he's just going to, you know, stop, you know. But I'm just like, damn, man, what could have been? Like, damn, that's like timing, man. It was like the biggest tease ever, man, because to me, way more than Blake Griffin. Like, he was going to be that piece that made the Nets deep. But anyway, so that's that. This has been a world-famous chop-up. This has been another great edition of Real Talk with Jamila's Lovely Black and Mo Benz. Shout-out to Black on the Topic.
Shout-out to hold.
Check-in. Yeah, man, shout-out to me on the chop-up. You know, definitely look out for the retweet if you missed the show. Same time next week. Everybody be safe. Peace, peace, peace.
9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Peace.